My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week. 6 p.m. Sunday through Friday, East Coast time. 3 p.m. West Coast time. Saturday at 8 p.m. East Coast time and 5 p.m. West Coast time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we participate in our world in a way that brings greatness to our existence. It is now time that we make sure that we no longer exist on the sideline, but are fully involved in the game that is going to determine our fate. I look forward to you calling in my show, 657-383-0309, so that your voice is heard without a filter.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I love being here, getting ready and prepared for my opportunity to talk to those of you who schedule our show on a daily basis. We need to talk about things that are going to impact our lives now and in the future. We need to discover what it is we need to know in order to make our lives better and worth living. There is so much we need to know, and there's so little time to discover the things that will bring joy to our hearts and to the hearts of those who cross our path. So we want to make sure that we spend every day trying to get our lives on the right track. I want to just say to you that it is just so wonderful and nice to know that we have this new platform and that we're going to continue to grow and grow and grow so that we meet the needs of more and more people, because only through growth can we truly create an environment where we are doing what is necessary to make our lives special. And we need to do that every day. Every day is an opportunity for us to make our lives special and make sure that we're doing what is necessary to propel ourselves forward. I'm going to take a short break to give people time to get on the line and so that we can have a full conversation
related to love and connections. We're going to be spending the next 12 days as we get prepared for Valentine's Day to make sure our hearts and minds and souls and spirit is in the right place.
Father, help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road and teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know we've got to walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is
love. You know, we find ourselves in an environment where there's so much turmoil and stress, and so much disharmony among people. And now we're entering a month where we're supposed to be focused on love, happiness, joy, and display a love and a desire for humanity. And how are we supposed to do that in this turmoil that we exist in right now? It brings my heart so much joy to see those activists out there who are showing a love for a group of individuals that they may not have a lot of experience identifying with, but yet they are fighting for the Constitution that is very important to our lives at this moment. But it shows you that your love has to go beyond self. Your love has to be unlimited and has to have the opportunity to spread to people you don't even know. And we have to make sure that we take the necessary steps to somehow, sometimes, put ourselves at risk in order to display what true love is, not just to the people who display and show us love, but show love to those who need it beyond being able to give it back. Dee, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, James. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. See, how important is it for us to display and show love beyond those who give us love? I mean, are we truly displaying and giving love when we only give it to those who love us in return?
No. First of all, I want to say this right here, brother. First of all, I want to tell you that I love your show. I love what you do. I love what you're doing. And I love you as a brother and a fellow man for having the guts to try to make a difference. You know, for far, far, far too long, we've heard people say what we ought to do and what we need to be doing and what we should be trying to do, but they never do anything. And since I've been a part of your show, I've heard some very smart people care. I've heard teachers. I've heard educators. I've heard business people. I've heard people that's in the know. And this is a place that I need to partake in because I care about where we are headed. I've seen where we've been, and it has not painted a very pretty picture. So we can't continue to ride the same old ship, doing the same old things that we've been doing and expecting things to be better. So when it comes to February and Valentine's Day and all that, that is to express love to our significant others. But love in itself is a word and a meaning that people kind of shy away from, especially in modern time, that being 2017. Depending on the culture and whether that culture does not emulate any such a certain religion, then love can be considered a sign of weakness. And so a lot of people don't want to embrace that. They don't want to embrace harmony. Conflict seems to be the norm, if you will. But it takes real soldiers, a new kind of soldier, to humble themselves and be a part of something to where they can kind of rally those who really care and start a new movement, if you will, even if it's as silent as we may be. But we have our following because I know that you're checking your ratings, and I know that since you've been on the air, they can't do anything but go up. So you got a following, and I just want to thank you for what you do, and thanks for making me be a part of it. Thanks, James.
Well, D, I have to share with you that it is because of people like you who keep me inspired to move on, because we're on a mission. You know, you and I are, I'm just 3 years younger than you, and at some point we're going to turn the reins over to another group of people. And if we don't give them a foundation, then we will have lost our opportunity to make a difference beyond our own mortality. So we have to use these treasured moments that we have right now to pass on the commitment that is needed to go beyond ourselves. I want to just say to you, you know, this is, I'm sneaking this in before Kathy gets here, but this is a time where our leadership is being very biased with the love that they're sharing. You know, we may very well be a country that is majority Christian, and I don't know what the percentages are, but for our president to say that he's going to be focusing on giving opportunities in our country first to Christians is to suggest that there's a hierarchy. And we all know that when you start creating hierarchies, that we're not going to be at the top of that list, people of color. So we cannot allow anybody to feel comfortable with creating a hierarchy when we know that the hierarchy is not going to focus on us. And when you start giving out measurements of love and determining who gets love based on their religious beliefs, somebody's going to get left out. So we cannot, as human beings, tolerate intolerance. We have to be able to be mindful of other people's beliefs and welcome, as long as people are not displaying any type of violence or looking to display any type of detriment to our society, we have to feel free and obligated to give people a chance. That's what this country was based on. You know, the Statue of Liberty, give us your tired, your oppressed. I don't know the whole thing. I wish I could recite it. But I know what it said was that we will take everyone who's looking for a better opportunity for life and people who want to live in love and freedom. And right now we have a leader who suggests that he wants to divvy out special interests, the Christians, and he wants to deny others. I was listening to the ruling, and the judge, you know, who is supposed to be impartial, talked about how are you going to create a hierarchy of who comes in when we've had nobody since 9/11. Here we are in 2017, and there has not been one person who came over here as an immigrant who has participated from those countries that they had identified, who has done anything illegal or violent. But yet you're going to use those seven countries as the ones you're going to discriminate against. And if they're Christian, they're going to be able to have a hierarchy. Our God, our Jesus, did not have a hierarchy. So if you're a Christian, how can you create a hierarchy when our Christian faith is not built on a hierarchy? What are your thoughts about that, D?
Well, I have really never known our newly elected president to have any religious base. In my time that I even known of him, there's never been talk of his religion or his religious dedication. So, if he's mimicking anything in that way, then it's just lip service, and he's just saying things that he's been told to say. But I think, you know, us leaving the month of January and honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I think there's a lot to be learned in his methods and his ideology on how to convey the message that he wanted to do. And, you know, had he taken a more left approach and tried to convey the message of just doing things for just black people, he never would have got anything done. He never would have got anything done. He had to do it in the way of including all people. And I think the concept that really held that together was the actual concept of love. When he started to preach and convey the message of love, that's when he got white participants to actually be a part of the movement. And it wasn't until that time that it got national attention. So I think that whomever And I think that your show is part of that. This is what I'm about to say. Whomever is to pick up the baton and move the idea and the movement forward should definitely implement the concept of love if you want to grab any traction in the efforts of doing so.
Well, did you know what's important is that my focus may be on people of color. I think women need to partner with us because they have just as much to lose. I think that economically, those of us who are under 100,000 need to be a part of a team because we're an economic team. So though I am a person of color, I want to partner with those people who have similar like issues that I have, similar like economic issues, similar like humanity issues. And, you know, I tell the story that I'm a Democrat because I believe that democracy or Democrat has to believe in change in order to right the wrongs of those people who have been treated unfairly. I'm a liberal because I think I have to be committed to viewing the world in a way that is fair to everyone, and that's going to require change. You know, as I look back over my lifetime, I recognize that my thoughts have changed over time related to a lot of different issues. I don't believe in abortion, but I don't believe I have the right to tell a woman what to do with her body for 9 months. How can you tell someone they got to be obligated to have a baby, but you don't have any platform to make sure that baby is brought up in the right way? You want her to have a baby, but you don't want to give her any economic advantages to help make sure that child is raised the correct way. You don't want to spend a lot of money on that child's education, on that child's insurance and health, but you want to make sure she had a baby. You know, those kind of things don't make a lot of sense to me. And anybody you make have something is not going to cherish it the way it needs to be cherished in the first place. So I think you're right in that our movement can only get better if we're willing to involve different types of people, genders and economic people, into the movement that we want to strengthen. And I see Kathy is here, but I want you to go ahead and make whatever comments you like on that statement I just made. And then we'll move on to talking with Kathy. Dee, so what are your thoughts about that, you know, that economic, religion, and race should play a part in what we merge together in our movement toward equality?
Well, I think that your question is a three-part question. So I'm going to try to divide it up in a timely fashion, so we can move on to your next topic. First of all, let me deal with the economics of the people that should be involved, especially those that are in the realm of under $100,000 a year. You know, they are vulnerable and they are susceptible to information. The problem is that the opposition knows that also, and they try to flood their willingness to hear with what their agenda is. And they've been doing it they've gotten a head start on us. They've been doing it for quite some time, whereas they've already built or developed a base. So now we're trying to re-educate and re-inform those persons who should be willing to listen to a different idea, if you will. Now, when it comes down to the women and I know are willing, are already available, women are really the muscle that gonna carry the torch. Because if you notice, when they took the street a week ago, it got the attention of the world. So I think our president that just left, is President Obama. I think he showed the idea and the way to really get these people involved and how we should do the same thing. We got to use finesse in order to make this happen. Because the opposition, what they use is the media, because they got the money to control it, and they use subliminal suggestions, if you will. So, you know, when a person is not informed, you got to re-educate them. But first of all, you got to get their attention. So I think women is going to be the ideal thing that's going to really push this idea in the right direction. I would have loved to seen a woman president to be in charge of our nation. I thought it was about time for that to happen. Unfortunately, things just didn't play out as we had hoped. But you know, it's going to take a lot of finesse and a lot of knowing how to retain people thinking. You know, people today, they don't want to think. So we got to change our way of thinking so we can help them think better and differently. Thanks.
How are you doing this evening, Kathy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And if there are any ladies, good afternoon.
Well, Kathy, you're the first lady. And
take it.
I took advantage of the fact that you were a little late coming on, and I took advantage and got in some conversation about politics and what's going on in the world. And I told Dee, I said, Lee, let's, you know, have this quick conversation. Well, Kathy, come on, because I made a promise to her. And so we got us in about a good 30 minutes before you came on. And how's your day going, Kathy?
You know what? My day is good. Actually, I was down here with my mom. She's been sick, and that's why I didn't come on at 5 o'clock. But I'm leaving, getting ready to go back to Long Beach. So I said, let me go ahead and call in and put my 2 cents in.
Well, make sure you tell your mom that I hope she gets better and that I'm always thinking about her. And that her goddaughter is a godsend, and that I'm just happy that I am a part of your family, even from a distance. And Kathy, today we wanted to talk about the importance of romance in a relationship. And Dee, I think you and I need to go on record. You know, sometimes ladies think that men aren't very romantic, and maybe there are some men who are not. But I take so much pleasure in surprising the woman that I care about. I really work hard, and I try to come up with some things that will just blow them away to show how much I care. And so sometimes I think that black men especially are sometimes stereotyped as though we don't have any romance in our bodies or in our spirit. And I just want to go on record as saying that is wrong, because I really think it's important, and that romance can be a lot of fun. And the smile that it brings on a woman's face is just so uplifting. What is your thoughts about romance in a relationship, Dee?
Well, hey, Kathy, I'm glad to hear you on the airway. You know, I'm with you on that. I take pride and joy in being romantic. I like to see my wife smile. I like to make her laugh. When I do those things, I know that our relationship is where it's supposed to be. Now, I got to tell you that in observing other couples and people that know us, there is an undeniable jealousy. It is undeniable jealousy when women have a husband of their own that don't have these, here goes the key word, when they don't have these attributes. Because from my standpoint, being romantic is not a birthright. You're not born with that quality. That's something that you have to learn and want to do for your mate. So I take pride in being different, and she's the same way, man. My wife, she'll mac out the house with candles and rose petals, and she's good in that way. And it would be highly unfair for me not to try to match her in doing something in the same way. So I'm on board with you, big guy.
All right. Kathy, how important do you think that is in a relationship?
It's very important. It actually what makes keeps a relationship together. I commend you, Mr. D, for doing that. That's awesome with you, how you and your wife keep that romance going, and the communication and the commitment, which is what we were talking about the other day. And my husband is as romantic as well. Even as I'm thinking, as you're talking, I'm just smiling about the things that he does and how he makes me laugh. And, you know, I could be getting ready in the morning. He said, "Ooh, you look so good." Just the things to make a woman feel good is what romance is all about. You know, that's what it's all about, because you want your spouse to tell you those things so no one else will tell you, and if they do tell you, it wouldn't matter, because the person that you're with is telling you these things. The person that you're with has already given you flowers, has already, you know, did those extra things to make you feel very, very special. So romance is a very big part of the relationship. When he sees me, he walks by, "Let me have a kiss, let me have a," you know, so little bitty things like that is very important in a relationship to make that marriage continue on, you know, because as you start your day and, you know, you've been together for a while, I mean, sex is a part of it too, but you're not going to be able to have sex every day because you're working and everything else, but it's the little bitty things that keep the knit together.
And you have to, from a man's standpoint, recognize, because of the emotional side that a woman has, that it is important to them. I tell you what, I've learned many, many lessons over my 56 years of growing up. And sometimes you shouldn't even take your wife's word for what she wants and don't want. And I'm going to tell you why. I remember vividly, and I will never forget, that my first wife and I came to an agreement that she was going to a ceramics workshop. And instead of me spending our money on a Valentine's, she wanted me to give her that money so she could spend at that workshop in March. So I took what she said to me, the heart. She didn't want me to spend any money. She wanted all the money that I was going to commit to Valentine's. She wanted me to give it to her for that workshop. So I went to work that day thinking, hey, I don't need to look for anything because she wants this for that workshop. Well, when I got back and she saw me empty-handed, I could see the unhappiness in her face. She could not wait for me to get home because she knew that there was going to be something that she could smile about. And when I got there, I had nothing. And so I was so shocked by her facial response. And when we had our little small conversation, and I tried to say, well, baby, I thought we made an agreement. And she said, well, I thought you would at least did this. I had to rush out, and I found about 50 little small bears that were like little clips. And I went and got her money in $5 bills, and I put her money all around the house. So she spent the next hour and a half looking for her money, and she was just as happy as a lark looking for them $5 bills all around the house to get her money for her show. But I left that house. I'm telling you, I could not stay in that house after I realized that she needed some type of confirmation. Even though, you know, it was cash because she wanted the cash for March, she wanted me to figure out a way to give her that cash other than writing her a check or handing her cash in her hand. And so now I realize no matter what a woman say, if she in my life in February, I'm going to do something that is unique and special to show her my appreciation. And all you men out there in the sound of my voice, if you want to have a happy home, you better do something on Valentine's Day.
That's a very good point.
So, you know, I don't care if y'all buying a house. I don't care if, you know, you just bought a new car. You better do something on Valentine's Day, regardless of what she say. If she says, oh, don't worry about it, we just got us a brand new house. Oh, don't worry about it. We just got a brand new car. Boy, you better go out there and do something.
Hey, James, to your credit, let me say something to that real quick. You know, you've been married twice. I think Miss Kathy, if I'm not mistaken, mentioned that she had been married before. And the marriage that I have to presently is my third marriage. I married when I was 24. I married my first wife almost right out of high school, and it was more infatuation than it was anything else. And so my point that I want to make is, you know, when we have previous marriages, those marriages are nothing but experiences that we take to heart so we won't make the mistakes that we made before in our present situation. So, in that, I think that I'm the most perfect husband that my wife could ever want. I told her, I said, honey, you met me at a good time because when you met me, I was well-seasoned and well-developed and solid in my way of life where I wanted to be. I had got all the foolishness out of the way and everything, and I missed you so last night. And I know what the subject matter was, and I'm probably they're gonna be a little testy for me, but things are different, and so the past experiences have been a perfect model for me to know how a man is supposed to act in a marriage. Thank you,
Cassie. Do you see your first marriage as an opportunity to fix some of the things that you may have believed that were not true, or that your husband now displays a lot of the characteristics that you you did not have in your first marriage.
Absolutely, he does. But see, the difference in my first marriage and the second marriage is that the first marriage, I wanted to be married at whatever cost necessary. I knew that there were some things in this particular person that were not right, but because I wanted to be married so bad, I went ahead and married the person knowing that this person had these different challenges in their life. But, you know, praying about it and still believing God to fix those things and us as a couple to try to live out what the word says as far as a marriage is concerned. It didn't work. We tried for 10 years, but it just did not work. Through that marriage, when I said, when I get married again, and I knew I was going to get married again, I just knew I was, I said that this person has to be very mature. I mean, they have to show maturity, and there are certain things that should not be in their life and certain things that should be in their life. And my husband always tells people, I pray for her. I pray she's everything I pray for. So that was like, you know, icing on the cake when he was telling people that even before we got married. But he showed attributes of what a husband should be. So, and I'm his first wife. So with that, and then just, you know, God showing other things, we were able to go ahead and get married. Like Dee said, he was seasoned enough to where he knew that when he went back again, that he would be able to do the right things. He knew what he wanted. He knew how it was supposed to be. So that's where I am. I feel that too. I feel seasoned, that I know how it's supposed to be. I know what is needed to keep it tight and right. So that's what I'm going to do, because this is the person I said I do until death do us part. And then what people don't understand, when you say through sickness and health, I mean, people just saying stuff to be saying it, because you do have those times where your spouse gets sick and you have to be the one taking care of them. You have to go all in. I remember when I first got married, the next year I broke my leg, so I was out. I was down in the bed for a whole year, and he had to do everything for me, you know. And I know he probably didn't know that this was going to be a part of the beginning, but I think it was a test, you know, just to see if he can endure the things that were getting ready to happen in our marriage. And it's just been uphill since then. It's been uphill, and every time we talk about it, we say that we love each other more because we're more experienced. We know more about each other, you know, and it's just a blessing. It's a blessing the second, third time around, however you want to call it. It's a blessing to know what to do and then to do it right. And I commend you, Dee, for saying that. And I believe that you love your wife, and you saying what you say about the different things. And James, as I told you, your wife is waiting for you. But now you got to prepare yourself for her, because she's waiting. She's waiting for you.
Well, I tell you this. It is amazing to me that, you know, my father told me a lot of things that I wasn't aware of when I was a young man, because I always thought I was a pretty smart man. And I thought I could handle just about anything. But he told me one time, he says, you know, and I can't remember exactly how old he was when he told me this, but he said, you know, when he was 18, he thought he knew everything. And then when he became 30, he knew absolutely nothing when he was 18. And when he became 40, he truly understood how unintelligent he was at 30. And when he became 50, he was just unsure of how he made it with his lack of knowledge he had at 40. And I just think that a lot of times as we're growing older and older, we come to understand the world a lot better than we did initially. I thought marriage was going to be easy. I thought marriage was going to be a piece of cake. And the reason I thought it was going to be a piece of cake was because I was a believer. I refused to cheat. I was hardworking. And I didn't drink or do drugs. I just thought my marriage is going to be perfect because I don't do any of those things. But then I came to understand or realize that marriage is very complex. There are a lot of things that go into marriage that go beyond just being a breadwinner, go beyond not overindulging in drugs, go beyond being faithful, go beyond being a believer. And if you're not willing to search through the maze of things that can destroy a relationship, then you will come to believe that you are doing everything right. But you have to realize that you have to do things right according to who that person is, because what's right doesn't come in one format. It's a lot of different things. And I've never hit one of my wives. I've never called them names. I've never done all of that, none of that. But yet there was something that made them unhappy. And because I didn't come to know what it was in a timely fashion, it destroyed the relationship. So one of the things is that you have to be open to what it is that you need to do for that man or woman at that time in order to make them happy. And just being a good breadwinner and earning money and going to work every day may not necessarily be it. Dee?
Yeah, you're so right, James. You know, I say all the time that I'm a big believer in the arts, because to be an artist, you have to be a thinker to portray the art form that you're trying to put out there. And so marriage is somewhat the same way. I found the key component to a healthy marriage is to be empathetic. You kind of have to put yourself in the other person's life, if you will. And in doing so, you can kind of tear down your own walls of defenses and be a little bit more receiving to that person's feelings and things of that nature. I tell anybody that I speak to, like my son and all, and anybody else that will lend me their ear, you have to be a little bit more compassionate. You know, one of the things about life that I've learned since I've been an older man, that the I theory in life should not exist. It's more about you or more about we. And not so much about my ego. My ego, it get me in all kinds of trouble, and it had taught me out of a relationship for the most part. So I have to kind of be more receptive to what's going on with her. You know, me and my wife, we have a rule, and we try to implement it most of the time. We fall short sometimes, that if we ever have a conflict in any situation or argument, we try not to go to bed angry. That doesn't always work out, but the next day we're going to surely fix that thing. So communication is way, way key. We have to learn to communicate to our spouses to find out what's going on with them or how can I help. Now, I'm the apologetic person in our marriage. I've learned to be all right with saying I'm sorry. Even though my point might not have been taken to heart, I'm still sorry for even making you so uncomfortable. Let's start right there. I'm sorry for making you uncomfortable. And with that, then we can break down the barriers or the defenses that we've had, and now we can try to put this thing back together, which won't be so hard now because we didn't let it get so out of hand. So it takes a new way of thinking. I'm big on changing about with the way I thought, because that's the way I've been taught now. I had to, when I came through rehab, the whole premise was to get a mental overhaul of the way you think. You know, when you got an old car and you wanna make something different out of that old car, you had to gut out everything. You had to take out the engine, all the wires and all the fluid and everything. And so I had to go through an overhaul. And in doing that, I became a new person. Through Christ Jesus. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't nothing of my doing. And so with me having this new opportunity in life, see, I'm like Lazarus. I've been born again. I've been raised from the dead. So I got a new opportunity to get things right. I've lived two lives in one lifetime, and I'm very happy about it. And I celebrate that. And I'm glad that my wife has chosen me to be her man. And I show her every opportunity. Honey, I'm glad you chose me. Because I didn't like me at one time in my life. So I'm in a good space in life right now. Thank you.
Kathy, what are your thoughts related to the marriage has to be more important than the I? That the I needs to always take a back seat to the us and the we. And only in that way can you be assured that you can get through the maze of destruction that exists that kills relationships.
Wow. Well, first of all, I mean, the eye is the eye. So, you know, I don't tell my husband to put your head down when you're walking or you go somewhere and there's a beautiful lady. There's a beautiful lady. There's a beautiful lady. But know that I'm the one that holds the beauty in your eye, you know. So, and then as a wife, you have to make sure that nobody else can get your husband's eye. You know, so there are things that we as women can do and say to our husbands as far as building them up so that we will be their only apple. As the Bible says, you're the apple of my eye, that we will only be the apple of their eye, even though they do see a beautiful lady, because there are beautiful people, you know, in the world. There are beautiful women. That's like there are sexy men. But that doesn't mean that, you know, my eyes does not belong to my husband. So when we leave one another, we kiss each other, we pray for each other, we communicate with each other. We are each other's each other, you know.
And when you find that, it makes you so whole and so complete when you know that you no longer have to worry about searching for the one that you love. You know, once you're able to find the one that you love, that is a burden that is now released from your daily walk or your daily journey, because you know you're going back home to someone that is going to put a smile on your face. And that's just amazing to me. That just continues to show me how great God is when he was able to create an emotion that everyone is in search of. You know, no, even when people believe they're not in search of it, the truth is that they are, because once you've experienced it, there's nothing like it.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir, James.
You know, once you know, when they had that saying that it's better to love and lost than never to love again, what is your thought about the need to experience what love truly is and what assets it brings to the table in your life?
Well, you know, I can only speak from my experience. And, you know, after my first marriage, it was rough. I got married for the wrong reason. I was like, Kathy, I got married for the wrong reason. And I think the reason I got married the first time was more so for sexual convenience. And not taking the time to get to know the person well enough to see if we actually had something that was compatible. I found that my emotions got damaged in that relationship. And so it took me a while. I think I stayed single for about 10 years after that. And then in doing so, it led me down the road of drug addiction. And what happened at that point, my emotions were numb. And I was medicating my emotions. So the gift of emotions plays a big role in knowing how to recognize a person and giving love a chance. The emotion has to be real, and it has to be open, and it has to be receptive to find that. Now, I think what we find today in today's time, a lot of people, their emotions are numb from past experiences. They have a tendency to give themselves to another person too quickly, and then that relationship turns out to be damaging. And that numbs their emotions for the next person that could be the right person. But then they kind of shun that person off, and they kind of miss a great opportunity probably. So we have to give the concept of emotions and what role it plays in love a chance to be real and felt. Now, coming from a man, it took me a while to give my emotions a chance. I told my wife that I'm married to. I said, no, I don't deal with the feelings much. I don't have no feelings. You know, I like you a lot and this, that, and the other, but I really don't have no feelings because I was afraid to give my feelings a chance. But once I got to really know my wife, she was the song in my heart that I've always heard. All the love songs that I grew up with, it was her. And once I recognized that, it was like, man, this is a done deal right here. And so I'm good with my decision to let go. And I think that's where the emotions play for you.
And I just want to go on record as saying that sex without love is so empty. You know, over the years I've come to understand that, you know, intimacy without the true connection of love is extremely inadequate. And that you can't be satisfied with it, and it's something you are always in search of because of the lack of I guess the lack of your thirst being quenched, that you're always searching for water because you can't get quenched with just lust. And that your love, when love is involved, it shows a satisfaction that can't be found anywhere else. Kathy?
Yeah, you're right, James. Again, as you guys are talking, I'm just thinking, you know, of different attributes and different things, you know, that my husband have. And even my pastor, he was doing a sermon on marriage and trust. And he said, you know, every now and then I have to turn around and tell my wife I love her. And then he said it out, you know, where everybody heard it, and she just began to smile. He said, see, that's how it should be. When you turn around and you talk directly to your spouse, and whatever you say should make her smile, so meaning that, you know, how sometimes people in relationships You don't see them smile. You don't see them laughing. You don't see them touching when they're walking side by side. So those are things that needs to happen in a relationship in order to make a relationship work, because it's all about working the relationship. I mean, like you said earlier, I thought that me going to work, me being a good, you know, me coming home was what was needed to make the relationship work. No, there's more than just that. I mean, that's great, because there are a lot of people whose spouses don't come home, you know, married. They come home late or whatever else, and they stay out and do all kinds of things. Those are great things, but there's still things that need to be added in order to keep it going. It's just like a job. You know, you go to work, you have a job to do. You have to clock in at a certain time, and you have 8 hours to do your work. If you go there, you don't clock in, you take your lunch whenever you want, you don't do any of the work, you're going to get fired, as it is with a marriage. You have to continue to find new ways and new ideas on how to keep, you know, the laughter going, the communication, the romance. I mean, you got to continue to find new and refreshing ideas to keep it going, you know. There was a party that we went to, and you know how they say, whoever's been married the longest, please stand up. So the lady was, they had been married, I think, 16 years, and they stood up. And so they sit back down, and then the guy went over and he said, oh, my goodness, congratulations. She said, for what? She said, it hasn't been good. It hasn't been, you know, so even though she stood up because she'd been married for 62 years, it was 62 years of hell, and nobody wants that in their marriage. You know, you want, when they ask you about your marriage, you want to be able to talk and say good things, you know, about your marriage. Like Dee said about some people are jealous. Yes, when other people see married couples in love, truly in love, with that spark in their eyes, the love and the mess, people get jealous, you know. And the only thing it is that they got to figure out what can make them get that same love, laughter, and joy. That's all it is.
And you're so right. And we've had that example in our White House for 8 years. I cannot imagine what kind of happiness and joy that is going to be experienced by our ex-president and his spouse. And you're right. I that is one of the reasons why I still don't want to give up. I still don't want to give in to being single the rest of my life, because I know that one day of joy, being with someone who truly loves you and you truly love them, is worth waiting for. And recognizing that that I believe in God, I just don't know how you can be a believer and not believe that the joy of marriage is just immeasurable when, you know, when two people find themselves or find each other, despite the fact that it's going to end up with unhappiness, because at some point somebody has to leave. But what you would have experienced during that time you were together will be worth that unhappiness that you feel when you are separated by death. And it is so important that you live every day knowing that it might be the last, and wanting that person to know how fully much you care about them and how important they are to you and your spirit. And that's how you should live every day. Dee?
Hey, I want to say something in relationship to your situation presently. And maybe within the next 12 or 11 days, however many more days we have, we got to go to before Valentine's, maybe we can squeeze this in the way of conversation. And that is, you know, when you explain yourself over the airways, James, it seems to me that you're quite consistent when you're explaining your personality and things that you believe in. You know, sometimes when it comes to finding that right person, the right person is going to be a hard person to find sometimes because, you know, today's women, and it's not just the young women, older women can be more about your pocketbook than actually what you actually have to bring to the table as a person. More about your achievements and your benefits that you could probably provide with than actually getting a chance to actually know you. So when you actually sit down and start talking to a person, you know, my daddy used to have this joke when he would explain certain women. He would say, you know, she was really pretty until she opened her mouth. And so, you know, it could be the other person. It has nothing to, and I know you're not implying that it has anything to do with you, but it, you know, the other person may not be at a point to where they have learned to be the type of person that attract men. You know, like we said, the world has changed. So, I know that Miss Audrey is not here today. Maybe she can enlighten me on how. What it takes to attract the older woman now. I really don't know. But that may be a subject that we can bring up at another date.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and we'll have everybody's final words.
Making love with you is all I wanna do. Loving you is more than just a dream come true. And everything that I do is out of loving you.
Themselves alone and bewildered by the difficulties of living. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is here so that we can bring comfort, direction, and maximize the talent that God has given us to everyone that is out there, and so that we can find equality in the American society. Kathy, what are your final words for today?
Well, my final words is I wanted to make a comment on what Brother D said, and I wanted to tell you that do not put in your mind, brother, that these women are out here looking for men with materialistic things or certain cars and jobs and materials. Don't put that in your mind. What I want you to do is I want you to pray that God would send you that right person, that person that's going to come alongside of you, that's going to encourage you, that's going to build you, that's going to take you to another level that you could not even imagine. Because if you do that, James, then you're going to fail. You're not going to find your queen. And the reason I'm saying this is because my husband, when we got married, my husband was working he had his own business, but it was a car wash business. Now, before he had that business, he didn't have a car. He barely had a job. But I'm saying from the time we got together, we have bills together. So it wasn't that I had something or he had something, but it was what was within us that made us who we are today. And that's what I wanted to leave the people with today.
And I think you, Cassie, believe me, when I look at you and what you have established between you and your husband, it does take me back a little bit, because I've always said to my daughter about the things she need to look for and what she shouldn't settle for. And when I was at the jail, I would tell a lot of them, you know, no, I wouldn't want you to be my son-in-law. You know, you already been in trouble. So, you know, you are a testament to the fact that you didn't turn down your Prince Charming. And you allow God to select him. And your Prince Charming does not necessarily mean he does not have some areas that he needs to work on, but it means that he's willing to work on whatever is required to make you happy. So I really feel that you are a testament to those people who are willing to open their eyes a lot larger than what is just on the surface. And when you did that, you found a king amongst boys. And so that is an excellent example of how to make it work right. Dee, what is your final word?
I want to thank Ms. Kathy for giving her explanation. Her explanation is a lot better than mine. It's more of a divine protocol, and I really appreciate that. My final words are something that I'm starting to put on T-shirts. I'm starting the T-shirt business, and my business is going to primarily consist of positive messages on the front and the back of T-shirts. Sometimes you can't get people to listen to you, but if you're standing in line at the grocery store, they can't help but read what's on the back of your shirt. And so my final words is your attitude create your destiny. And I'm going to leave you all with that today.
Okay. Well, look here. I want you, you know, every time you say something about business, I want to be a part of that. So I want to share with you that I am looking for, somebody gave me a perfect slogan to put on a T-shirt, and I'm not sure this is it, but I want you to look at designing. You know that people, African-Americans, love playing spades, and we call spades your trump card. And so I want a T-shirt. I want a 5X T-shirt that says "Dump Your Trump."
Really,
hey,
Dave?
Hey, I knew where you could go over that, dude.
And I wanted to be an ace of spades. I wanted to be an ace of spades card on the front that says "Dump Your Trump." And I promise you, I'll buy at least 5 of those.
Really, Dave?
Oh,
if you can.
You had to know that.
I'm serious. If somebody could give me that T-shirt, I would wear it. Dump Your Trump.
Let me work on that,
really?
Bro.
Hey,
really?
Listen, I'll send them out for you.
Miss Cabby, let me work on that for you, brother.
Hey, now, every time you take 2 steps back with stuff like that. No.
Hey.
But this is an exception. This is a rule, though. This is an exception. Come on. You see what we're dealing with.
If I'm going to be your sister out here and your coach every now and then, I don't think that's a
bitch.
What is the woman that is looking for her King James? Is offended by that shirt.
I'm telling you, okay. Hey D, I have to talk. I'll email you, D. Kathy, I don't want the shirt. D, I'll email you
Hey man, hey, you know how you put 2 fingers in my eye and I point at yours? I got you, brother.
Okay, guys.
I love y'all,
hey,
man.
Hey, Kathy. God meant for him to tell me that. He know I've been looking for that. God meant for him to tell me because I've been looking for somebody to get me that T-shirt.
Okay. I'll let you have this one.
Well,
let me work on that for you, buddy.
I just want to tell you guys, hey, we always have to be open and prepared for the opportunities to have great things happen. And I am so elated, D, that you're going into that business. And certainly we're going to be doing all kinds of things because we have to promote ourselves, our show, and so many things. And certainly T-shirts are a way to do that. I even need a Fantastic Four. I've been trying to find out who I could get to make me a Fantastic Four shirt so that I can put Andre and Kathy and Regina and Joyce on the back, because those are the Fantastic Fours, and
we
need to put that on the front. So we need to work on that as well. So, Cassie, I'm doing some good things, too, you know, because we talked about that T-shirt. So here we are. We got D. We already got him designing 2 T-shirts for us already, man. You know
I'm going
that
in,
is, so.
I'm going in the lab as we speak.
That's
okay.
How we got to do it.
Okay,
hey, I appreciate y'all, man. I love y'all, bro.
All right. So look here, guys. All I want to tell you is we're going to be here tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern time, at 3 o'clock West Coast time. I want you to know that we're here and the platform for you to have your voice heard loud and clear. And we got 11 more days until Valentine's Day, and we're going to continue to talk about love. And Cassie, I'm doing what I said, even though I snuck me some politics in there before you jumped on the line. That we're going to talk about love, and we're going to make sure we got our hearts in the right place. You guys take care, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time. Love and resist, reflection.
In the past, my life has been inundated by those who truly didn't understand the term commitment. The connections would flourish and become entangled by daily life experiences. Quickly, that which seemed so promising turned barren. What has recently appeared before me break all the rules of the past. I find myself experience. You have created a love within me which was unforeseeable. I've never known love. Conceived it could be between a man and a woman. I never dreamed that my belief in the Lord's word would manifest itself in this fashion. I live to put into words what being one with you does to my spirit. I look forward to loving you in a way not known to either of us. Have I ever known love like this? I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this. I have never loved like this before. I refuse to allow it to disappear as those in the past. Search for most of my adult life. It would be crazy to let the daily